Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. And the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, and durable details, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Code CLASSIC24.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Great to be with you on a Tuesday here in Detroit. Let's get right to it. Great way to open the show today as we've got the Lions quarterback, the division-winning Detroit Lions quarterback, the number one seed.
There you go.
Detroit Lions quarterback. Jared Goff joins us at this time here on 97.1 The Ticket. Jared, as always, we've appreciated all season long. We know you well enough. We'll congratulate you on winning the division and getting the number one seed, but I know you always have bigger fish to fry and you got their eye on the prize, but how would you characterize the feelings today?
Yeah, it feels good. You know, the last, 48 hours, it's a good feeling knowing we got a little rest and get to decompress just a bit and get some guys back and get some extra sleep and the whole thing. And knowing we get a home game next week and knowing it's going to be against a team who's got to play a hard fourth quarter game this week. Yeah, it's all good things. And like you said, though, we know we got the big one we're all going after now and starts next week.
When do you actually start to go back to work and start to study film and stuff like that and get back to team activities?
I mean, we're in today.
Okay. So we're doing really stuff to, not a yeah. whole lot of time to enjoy that then, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't have, an opponent to prepare for, but yeah, we're in today doing a little work.
So you've already mentioned the rest. Is that basically the biggest part of this and getting guys back? Because I know after the game you were like, hey, it doesn't matter who's out there, but it will be nice to get some people back offensively, David Montgomery, maybe Carlton Davis defensively. How much can that give you a boost?
Yeah, getting anyone back is helpful just for body purposes. But like we've said in the past and like we've shown, it doesn't seem to matter. And certainly defensively with all the guys they have out, they don't care. Those guys are just a bunch of dogs who don't care. It's next man up. And they just keep on showing up, keep on coming out to play. And they're a dangerous crew right now, and I'm happy to have them on our side.
Is there anyone on that defense that in particular you're happy for? Guys that you saw battle as backups, you faced him in practice, that got on the field and made a play. Is there anybody that stands out?
I mean, there's a lot. Yeah, I don't know if I can single any one of them out. I think the easy one this past week is Amik. He's playing nickel for us a lot throughout the season. He's moved out to corner with some of the corner injuries and had a big challenge this week. And Justin Jefferson's as good as they get in our league, and he was tasked with that and stood up to the challenge. And not surprising to any of us, he's a hell of a player. He has been all year. And I think he kind of embodies that, he doesn't care, what you say, what you want, how many guys we have out there, how big he is, he's just going to come out. He's going to play tough, sticky man coverage and make it hard on the opposing quarterback. And he just continues to do it.
Can you talk about that fourth down play you had, the conversion to Jamison Williams? I think it was fourth and six. And it looks like it was one of these blitzbuster plays that you have to wait and wait and wait to the last second before you deliver the football. And knowing that you're going to take the hit that you took, can kind of take us through that and what goes through your mind trying to prepare yourself for knowing you're going to have to take that hit?
You know, there was a little bit of a cat and mouse game going on there with us and their defense with, you know, checks and them checking and us checking and them checking and that whole thing. And so, yeah, there I knew they were bringing cover zero blitz, and J-Mo's kind of my only option there as the quickest route coming across the formation, and just kind of had to let them clear that middle of the coverage, and because they'll drop out some of those interior guys, just kind of had to let them clear to the other side. And, you know, with his speed, it doesn't take long, so he got over there pretty quickly and was able to put it out there for him and made a good conversion.
Speaking of cat and mouse game, the fourth and two late, a field goal puts you up three scores. You guys break the huddle. It's on their 6-yard line. You get them to jump off sides. I feel like you guys even did it differently than everybody else, because viewing on TV, you can almost tell when a team's trying to get somebody to jump off sides. And you guys were so standard operating procedure. Was that part of the plan there? Is we're not going to make it as obvious as everybody else does.
Yeah. You know, we do put a lot of time into, you know, that situation and trying to get people to jump off sides. I take a lot of pride in it, making it all look the same. And we've been pretty successful at it this year. We've had a bunch of those down in their tight fourth down. And I think a lot of it's the Dan Campbell effect. You know, we've shown to go for it on a lot of these fourth downs. So they can't just say, oh yeah, they're just not going to snap it and they're going to kick the field goal. They have to be geared up and ready to go, because we may snap it. We have snapped it. You know, I think that Green Bay game, everyone thought we weren't going to snap that one, and sure enough, we did. We fired off the ball and were able to pick up the first down, kick the field goal. So teams remember that stuff. They see it, and they were ready to go. But, yeah, we got them to jump.
After Terrion Arnold goes out of the game, they kick a field goal. It's 10-9. Do you say anything on the sidelines, or does the offense get together and say, all right, we got to kick things into gear now? We've been kind of, you know, slow motion a little bit here. We need to start scoring, because you guys end up scoring three straight touchdowns. What's said on the sideline? Any words go between the offense and the defense?
No, not much is said. We knew we were so dang close all day. We were just getting, we were getting stifled a little bit. Their defense was doing a good job, and you know, I was trying to settle in a little bit and see things, and they were doing some things a little bit differently. And you give them a ton of credit, man. They were making it hard on us early, and but I think you give us a ton of credit for adjusting and making it work in that second half. And certainly up front, those guys protecting for me and opening those run lanes were incredible all day. And obviously what Gibbs did was incredible. But yeah, it was just once we settled in, we knew we were so close. We knew what they were doing on defense. We just kind of had to, you know, do our job just a little bit better, identify the, you know, what they were doing a little bit better and execute. And we were on our way.
Yeah, it kind of goes underrated. The way that the adjustments come at after halftime. I mean, the defense, after I said that field goal, they shut things down. Your offense, you guys pick things up. How underrated is it of what goes on at halftime with the coordinators and the team coming together and figuring things out?
Yeah, you know, sometimes there's a lot that goes on. Sometimes there's nothing that goes on. Sometimes we're just hanging out, getting a little water, getting a little bit of a breather. And but, yeah, in a game like that, yeah, there's absolutely some adjustments made. And Ben and the staff and AG and his staff are making changes and making sure we're on, you know, what we need to be on, and then come out the second half and, you know, get ready to go from there.
Have you seen all the speculation this week about your offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, and head coaching positions?
No, what are they saying?
They're saying he's got three interviews lined up for later this week.
Three? Wow. All right. Good for him.
How would you characterize your feelings towards that? I'm sure you'd love to keep him, but
he's had interviews before, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. You know, I love Ben. He's the best, and I wish him the best in whatever he ends up doing, but he knows I'd like to have him for, you know, at least one more, and we'll see where it goes.
You said something I thought that was really interesting on the Peacock postgame show. You said that one of his strengths is he provides you clarity and you guys problem solve together. Can you give us an example, whether it was from this game or any game this year, where during the week is a great example of Ben Johnson providing Jared Goff clarity and problem solving an issue that a team was potentially going to give you?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be hard for me to give you an example, because it's all day, every day. That's what we're doing, kind of, is talking through these problems and fixing these problems. And, you know, whether it's first or second down, whether it's third down, whether it's red zone, all we're doing is trying to, you know, simplify it for myself. And I'm just constantly asking questions. And I think a lot of times, you know, in our little post-practice meetings that we have is just me, you know, hammering out some of the issues that I may see and him going, no, we're good because of this, that, and the other, or yeah, that's a good idea. We should add this. And so we're just constantly fixing problems. And I'm very thankful to have a coach who listens and who wants to hear from me and wants to hear what I have to say and ideas. And it's been fun to, you know, get some of those ideas in. And certainly when they're your own, you feel like you need to make them work. So it's fun to be, you know, in working with him.
Got to be fun to work with an offense like this. What Jahmyr Gibbs has done all season and the game he had on Sunday night, and then watching Jameson Williams, you get him over 1,000 yards. It's got to be a quarterback's dream to step into an offense that has this many weapons.
Yeah, it really is. It's been so fun for me, and really for, you know, years now. It's been a lot of fun to be with these guys, and to just the continuity of who we have up front, who we have at the skill positions. Myself coming back for, you know, the fourth year now. It's fun, man. It really is, and it's explosive. It's smart. It's fast. It's aggressive. It's, you know, physical. It's all everything you want in offense, and we've had good success, and now it's time to keep it going.
So can you compare at all what it was like going into this year's playoffs compared to what you felt like going into last year's playoffs?
I don't know. You know, it seems pretty similar, I guess. I'm not sure. You know, the difference is we don't have to play this week. I know that's not a great answer for you.
That's a big one, yeah.
We get a little bit of rest. We feel good. We don't know who we're going to play yet. We'll find out in about a week and go from there. But, yeah, I think we feel about the same. But I think, you know, last year after losing that NFC Championship, it created, you know, this little fire within everybody going like, all right, we're not going to let that happen again. And it started right there, right then there in that locker room after that game. And that's kind of carried through the offseason and now into this season. And I guess that would be the difference.
We've talked a lot about the Detroit football culture. How would you describe the culture of the Detroit Lions locker room?
Yeah, it's pretty strong. It really is. And starts with Dan, obviously, and trickles into his coaches, trickles into our players. And, you know, we don't care where, when, how, and in what way, you know, we're going to find a way to win. You know, even when everyone's saying we should rest our starters against the Niners, we're going to go out there and play and find a way to win. And that's probably the reason why we won against the Vikings, because we play all our starters in that San Francisco game, right? Like, that's got to be the reason why. So, no, I'm just playing around. But I wanted to give somebody a hard time about that, because I think when Dan makes decisions like that and they're questioned after they work, it's pretty fascinating to me.
Of course. All right, final thing. You guys, well, for me, you guys have become a sensation. And in Detroit, even around the country, did you see the video of actor-comedian Dax Shepard at the Golden Globes watching your game on his cell phone? The Michigan native.
I saw that. I think that, yeah, Dax is from here, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that was cool. He's obviously a fan, and I'm a fan of his. And it's fun when that crossover happens. And yeah, we're doing some fun things right now, and it's fun to be a part of. And I'm happy to be here, and happy to be winning, and happy that Dax is watching. It's fun.
Of the crossovers and the people you've gotten to meet, the famous people, what's been the coolest for you?
Oh man, it's hard to beat Eminem. He's up there, and got to meet him a couple times, and he's my favorite artist ever. And seeing him at the games always gets me fired up too. And I love that he loves rooting us on.
What's the toughest part about being a quarterback in the NFL? I know I would imagine every quarterback has a different thing, whether it's just processing the plays or, you know, reading a defense, whatever it is, just dealing with the media on a daily basis. What is it for you?
Yeah, for me, it's probably this show every Tuesday.
Yeah.
No, I'm totally kidding. You know, it's probably the balance of just time and you know, when to push and pull as a leader, and you know, how to handle, you know, certain situations in a locker room. And obviously the football stuff on the field is challenging as itself, but you know, outside of that, you know, just handling daily life and your time management, and still trying to be, you know, a great husband and son and you know, brother, and at the same time be a great teammate. And that's the part that you try to balance. And I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job of that, but it's always a challenge.
Lastly, Doug had mentioned to me the other day that for the first time he tried the cold plunge. Oh, I'm wondering, is Jared Goff a cold plunge guy?
Yeah, I do. I do like the cold plunge. And there was a time where I was doing it a little bit more consistently than I am right now. And you guys are, you know, giving me a little kick in the butt, then I guess I got to go do it. But yeah, I will certainly be doing it this week on our recovery week, rest week, and getting my body back. But yeah, no, I am a fan of it. And I think you guys should do it more often. You guys should try doing it every day. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I don't know that that's going to happen. I tried it once and it was excruciating. But final thing for me, I lied, Jared. I got one more thing because I think it's important. Being at home, the difference the fans make. Talking to the fans right now, tell them what it's like playing at Ford Field as the Lions quarterback.
Yeah, we have the best fans in the world, and it's such an advantage for us being in front of them, and the energy and passion they bring, and the feelings they give us pregame, during the game, the whole thing. It's such an insane atmosphere, and that's not even to mention the false starts and the delay games that they're causing, and yeah, so they know it, but they're certainly helping us win a lot of these games, and to get this home field advantage and to be in front of them and to give them that reward, I guess, to, you know, come out and help us win these games is all you can ask for. And I know they'll be fired up in, you know, whatever it is 2 weeks from now, and we'll be ready to go too, but can't wait to play in front of them for two more games.
Jared, appreciate your time, and I think given all that you've done for Detroit, I think the least Gator and I can do is do the cold plunge.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Yeah, we'll commit. We'll commit.
Every day. It's not supposed to be easy. That's why it's good for you, you know?
There you go.
Thanks for your time. Good luck. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you.
There he is, Lions quarterback Jared Goff joins us every Tuesday. What a great way to start the show. Lot to unpack there, and we will get to that next. Any impressions you have? Because I noticed something. I just looked down at the feed, the video feed. One of the questions had people going, oh. I don't know if it's a correct interpretation, but we'll get to that at 10:20. Plus your phone calls and feedback. Lions quarterback Jared Goff there. Here on 97.1, The Ticket. So bye week, playoff, postseason, Lions told us 10 a.m. for Jared Goff. So we got him on right out of the gate, and that was great. It's funny, you think back to when he first got here, and that first season, we talked to the Lions quarterback every week, and we kind of, you know, it was tough. It was tough, and I remember like week 7, week 8, he had a play, and we kind of pressed him on it a little bit. It was a fourth down play, and he just threw it out of bounds. And he's like, yeah, it was one of the first times we heard Goff, admit, yeah, I got to do better. And he knew it, and we've come to get used to that when things go wrong. But the other thing is, you know, we were pressing him on a little bit, and he was sick of talking about it. I'm not mad at him or anything. It's just kind of part of the job. And he's always been so honest, and really, I like when he asks us questions, like a couple times to say, what do you mean? And like today, even today, Ben Johnson, what have you heard? But that's what led to, I looked down at the Twitch feed and some people were like, ooh, he knows something. Like there's a chance, like, is he coming back? Did you take it that there might be a chance he's coming back?
I kind of did.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Well, the way he said, yeah, it was kind of like, you know, he knows, he's got inside info. Or like, look, I think regardless of what his reaction is, my thought going into this whole thing with Ben Johnson is it's going to take a hell of an offer and situation for him to want to leave Detroit. And, you know, if you're really going to want to pry him away, it's probably the money is really going to have to be strong, because I'm not sure any of these situations is all that great, given what the strife that there is with upper management with some of these openings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think anybody wants to go into Jacksonville and say, oh, that's a perfect situation for me, because ownership seems crazy there. You go with the Patriots and, you know, they just fired the coach after 1 year. So how good does that look? And, you know, this is life after Belichick, and that's not working out so well. And, You know, the Jets seem like that's a disaster. You wouldn't go there. So it comes down to the Bears and the Saints. You know, and the Bears as an organization, they've been a train wreck. So do you want to do that? And, you know, with New Orleans, who are you working with New Orleans? Derek Carr? So I'm not sure any of these five situations that present themselves right now are great. I mean, my gut would tell me it's the Bears, but if you can't work with the front office with the Bears and come together on exactly what you think is the right situation, then walk away.
Kang, what was your interpretation of that?
That definitely caught my attention. I'm not going to lie. And I'm a guy who thinks like, hey, you know, at some point in your career, the opportunity is too good to pass up, especially if you want to test yourself. It's been a goal of yours. The money is much better as a head coach than as an assistant, no matter how many raises you get as an assistant. But when Jared said, he's had interviews before, hasn't he? And he was quick, and you know, he's comfortable with us now, and he's funny, and it was a great interview, but he was quick with that. And I thought, huh, it's true. I mean, he's had interviews before, and guess what? He came back. What's to say he doesn't do the same thing this time? Now, there might be better opportunities, better position, maybe even higher pay this time around, but I think Jared brings up a good point. Hey, he's had interviews before. He chose to come back. He could do. Basically, he was saying he could do it again. And he knows that, hey, they're obviously close, and he wants the best for Ben Johnson. If that's the coach somewhere else, that's what Ben's going to do. But I think the fact that the door is not completely slammed, at least in his mind, I'm not slamming it in my mind either.
I interpreted that as I'm going to put a pin in it, remember the moment, but you don't even – I don't draw any conclusions from it. But if we find out that Ben Johnson has turned down all offers and will stay – we'll go back to January 7th when we talked to Goff going, we should have known. Now, I found a list of what NFL assistant coaches, the highest paid NFL assistant coaches, which was updated on November 15th.
Okay.
The highest paid, these are actually, it's actually just the highest paid offensive coordinators. Todd Monken and Mike Kafka each make $3 million at Baltimore and the Giants. Then Kellen Moore, 2.5. Ken Dorsey, 2.3.
You're gone.
Nathaniel Hackett, 2.2. Arthur Smith and Ben Johnson tied for 6 at $2 million. So here's the easy button. Ben will double your salary.
That is an easy button.
Yep. I mean, there's no salary cap on what you pay coaches.
No, but, you know, if you're Ben Johnson and you're going through this, look, obviously – he doesn't want the distractions. He wants to see this thing through. And then, sure. I would assume every coordinator in a situation he's in right now with a team in the playoffs that has a really good chance of winning it all. You'd rather just talk to me on February 12th, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I know the game's on the 9th. The Super Bowl's on the 9th. Unless our season ends earlier, then I'll talk to you afterwards. But I don't want to talk now. And yet he has to. You've got a window of opportunity. You got to do these initial interviews now. It's brutal, but at the same time, you know, he's in a great position because if this team does achieve their goals, he can demand kind of whatever he wants if he wants to stay. If he doesn't want to leave one of these other jobs as a head coach, I would imagine that he could at least double what he's getting paid as a coordinator here in Detroit, and I don't think that the Fords would say no.
Well, he's been granted they've been granted permission to do interviews. Zoom interviews, virtual interviews. I think it's Thursday through Saturday. So he and Aaron Glenn can do whatever they want Thursday through Saturday. But then it's obviously back to work, and I'm sure they're going to be working throughout these interviews. But Kang asked me a question today. Do you ever remember a time where Detroit loved assistant coaches the way they love Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn?
I mean, not with the Lions. I mean, there was a slight love affair with Jim Bob Cooter.
Yeah.
That
was it just the name?
The Cooter he loved didn't last that long.
I think it was about 60% name, 40% right? The job he was doing at the time.
Well, I mean, remember, Stafford wanted him back and all that stuff. So but nothing like this. Yeah. I mean, this and both, it's both guys. Everybody loves both guys.
Chris Fetter.
Fetter's a good name. Okay, Fetter's right? A good name.
That's a lot of Fetter love.
Yep.
Fetter's in that category.
Fetter made.
Yeah, not with the NBA, not with the NHL. Can't see that.
I'm not going to go all ancient, but there are guys in the past way back, but nothing like this in modern.
Not like this. I mean, there were guys who were beloved in the past, you know, Sparky's crew, but not
that's
like
where I was trying not to go.
But it doesn't compare.
No.
I mean, these are guys who are legitimate head coaching candidates, you know, Dick Trzewski and the like. It's not like, oh, are we going to lose Trixie to the Milwaukee Brewers in the offseason? No. This is legitimate stuff here. Are they going to lose Ben Johnson to the Bears? They're going to lose Aaron Glenn to the Jets or to the Saints? And the answer is they could very well lose both. But I love Goff's response to that was so quick. And, you know, I think that there is a lot. I mean, you have to think about it. There's a lot of calculation that goes into it. And what I said, there's not an ideal situation for you to head into right now. And there rarely is. I mean, because teams are looking for head coaches. I mean, 95%
they usually
of them because
suck.
Those teams suck.
Yep.
You know,
he's laid out his very public parameters, like almost creating a job that doesn't exist. It's got to be a perfect situation.
Well, it's like if Andy Reid decided to retire. Okay, that's a pretty good situation to walk
into.
That's
a good situation. What about if Tomlin actually does leave Pittsburgh? There's some talk about teams trying to trade for him.
Yeah, I mean, the Kevin O'Connell stuff was interesting to hear. You know, Mike McCarthy, if the Bears want to interview him from Dallas, even though he's still under contract for another week or whatever it is, I mean, I don't know if you want to go and work for Jerry, but, you know, there are situations that are better than the five that are open right now.
All right, your thoughts and your reaction to Jared Goff joining us right out of the gate here on Carson Anderson. We will get to your phone calls and feedback next here on 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Glad to be with you on a Tuesday. Got the show off on the right foot with Jared Goff. If you missed it, he usually joins us at 10:30, but his schedule had 10 o'clock, which is fine with us. We'll replay it later for people who missed it. He was really insightful. A lot of people are drawing some conclusions. Like I said, I think we put a pin in what he had to say about Ben Johnson because some people hear that and think, ooh, he's coming back. I don't know about that, but.
Gator, I know you don't like the movie. But, I mean, we'd all love to see the Wolf of Wall Street meme as soon as Ben Johnson says, I'm not, you know, I'm taking my name out of the head coaching, you know, any candidate, you know, don't put me in anymore. I'm out. I'm staying here. I ain't going anywhere.
Right. Yeah. And I don't.
I ain't leaving.
I don't like the movie, but that would be appropriate here. Yes. Yes.
You would like it then.
I'm not leaving.
I ain't leaving.
For those of us who didn't see the movie, is there significance to this or he just.
Well, I mean, the significance is that. Jordan Belfort, who is the portrayal by Leonardo DiCaprio in the movie, who's a Wall Street guy who just scammed people out to get millions and millions of dollars with his company, was being investigated by the FBI, and they thought that he was gonna have to leave, and then he meets with his company, and then he decides on the spot, I ain't leaving, I'm not going, and everybody goes nuts, people are popping champagne bottles, the whole bit. It's fantastic, it's a great scene. Yes, I think we are all hoping that that's the same thing that goes on here, is that Ben Johnson comes in front of the team and says, guys, I got to let you know, after meeting with three teams this week, and I ain't leaving.
And the whole place goes nuts.
And it would go nuts.
Nuts.
Oh, man, can you imagine? They would have to have cameras for something like that.
Feedback coming in. Goff talk like he knew something about Ben Johnson. That's from an unnamed texter.
Well, they know they got unfinished business here right now.
Yep.
And that's why... You know, they're very focused on the next game. So they get the next game. And then that game. So they get the next game.
Jim and Onondaga. Goff even said Ben knows I'd like one more year with him. I think he knows something we don't know. At least I hope so. 248-539-9797. Mitch, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Mitch.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on here.
Sure.
I don't want it to get lost in the sauce. Sheila is the foundation, the fundamental reason for the instigation of all this change. We all spent, and you guys have spent a lot longer time than I have rooting for this team, hoping for success. I don't want it to get lost in the sauce that Sheila is the reason for all this. And you guys play the drop all the time. It's hilarious. The first time she ever got up in front of the fans, and to bring Calvin and Barry back and put Calvin in the Ring of Honor, to get in front of those fans when her mother and father never did for decades, and just wear the merciless impatience of the fans as they booed her up there. She deserves a lot of commendation for having the courage to get up there and do that, to stick to her guns when things didn't go right at the start. And I'm asking you right now, Sheila Ford-Hamp, please pay these men as much as a head coach. Keep them around. Last I checked on Google, there is no salary cap for coaches, and they're the most sought-after coaches in the league. Make them feel valued. Make them stay here. I'm saying this from the bottom of my heart, guys. We have a dynastic opportunity. Let's make it work. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, it'd be awesome, and we'd all be on board. It's not our money to spend, and of course, if we are allowed to spend it, I'd love to keep them. But here's what you can't maybe put a price on sometimes, and that's what somebody's ambition is. You don't know what their lifelong goals are and their lifelong dreams are. And if it's to be a head football coach in the NFL and that opportunity is there for them, you know, cheer them on and to go get that. I mean, of course you'd like them to stay. And if money is the deciding factor, then let money be the deciding factor, I guess. But, you know, you can't stop somebody from reaching for their goals.
No. And I mean, I made her my champ of the weekend yesterday. And I go back to the date was October. This doesn't feel like that long ago. It feels like eons ago, and yet on the calendar, it's not that long ago. I'm looking at a story from October 26th of 2022. Okay? And her quote is, "We've got 11 more games to go, so I just don't want to ruin it. Push the panic button. Give up the ship, because I think we've got the right people in place to pull this off, and I truly believe that. And I wouldn't say that if I didn't believe it." And this was her stepping in front of the media. Another quote, "We're going to turn this thing around the right way." This is October 26th of 2022.
And then they went 8-3.
At the time, the Detroit Lions were 1-5.
And lost the next game. And then went 8-2.
Yep.
Then 12-5.
And
15-2.
Have been an absolute juggernaut ever since. And, you know, I've told the story before, so I apologize if it's a repeat for some people, but, you know, I think it was when they put Calvin into the Ring of Honor, and she went out there to introduce him, and she got booed.
Oh, yeah.
And I was told that, you know, she left, she stood there and took it, left, walked underneath, and you could tell it hurt. Now, whether that meant there were tears in her eyes or whether, I don't know. I just was told by an observer that was there that they said you could tell that it hurt her, and she kind of expected it was coming, but it was her job as the owner of the team to go out and to properly honor Calvin. And let's just say that this team is on the brink of bringing her cheers. I mean, like perhaps never, ever before, right?
No. And look, you know how I feel about her as an owner, and I absolutely 100% believe that she's the catalyst of what happened. Because it's an extreme departure from what had happened prior to her taking over. You know, the fact that she's a woman, I think, matters, because it breaks all the stereotypes that were out there that, oh, great, so the daughter's going to take over the team. Great. You know, and the fans want the Fords to sell the team and all this, right? No. She took over because she had genuine interest in running the Detroit Lions. That's what she wanted to do. And all she's done since then is prove to everybody just how dedicated she is and how serious she is, and made the right decisions, and who she surrounded herself with, who she hired, and then, you know, trust those people to present her with options of who then should be the next hires. And it's worked out brilliantly, and she deserves a ton of the credit. When you get the big slice of pie or cake and you want to divvy it up, then I think she gets the biggest slice, because she's the one that started it.
Okay, here's more. And again, this is from The Athletic. This is what she said that day. "I know this is difficult." All right, so here they are, 1-5. It's year two. "I know this is difficult. Our rebuild is hard. We really believe in our process. We really believe in we're going to turn this thing around the right way through the draft. It requires patience. It's frustrating. Am I frustrated? Absolutely. Are the fans frustrated? Absolutely. But I think we're really making progress. You know, you've seen it. It's just, this was a huge teardown and then turnaround, you know, and we really were only a third of the way through the season. We got 11 more games to go. I mean, it's so funny looking back because what she said is now what we're all saying. And what I guess everybody hoped is that, yeah, we've got a draft ninja who's crushed it. It does take patience, and they did turn it around. And, you know, we were doing shows for all that time. And one of the great parts about Dan Campbell is that he's one of one. Right now you see there was a preseason speech that the head coach in Arizona made, and people are like, ooh, this is his Dan Campbell moment. And I'm like, are they really doing that? Are people really doing that? And they are. They're looking for who's the next Dan Campbell. And some writer in Arizona tried to comp Jonathan Gannon to Dan Campbell. And people are now, okay, who's the next Dan Campbell? But because he was one of one, we got calls at the time saying, nobody's done it like this. That you can't have this football caveman running a team. Who's done it? Who's won that with a guy like this? And the best we could, the best we came up with was kind of Ditka.
Right. But Ditka was such a hard ass. Like, Ditka wouldn't smile. Dan Campbell smiles. He laughs. He cries. He does it all with his team. He is one of a kind. Absolutely one of a kind. You can't come up with a comp.
And like we go through these, people call all the time and say, I didn't believe, or this, that, and the other, and they still have work to do. Let's be clear. Nobody needs to apologize or feel bad for that, because we'd seen different things tried over and over and over again. And being skeptical of the Lions, it's okay. It's okay. And it's great now to see what's going on. It's just remarkable. More feedback coming in from the Jared Goff interview that opened the show today. We will get to that coming up next, plus your phone calls here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
Doug Kirsch, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. 248-539-9797. Let's get back to your open line calls. We go to Bill next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Bill. Bill.
Oh, hey. Sorry about that, guy.
No, you're good.
You guys were talking about Sheila Ford-Hamp, and the parallel that just has been ringing in my ears for the last few years was the owner of the Golden State Warriors a few years ago in 2012, got booed mercilessly at the Chris Mullins retirement jersey ceremony because they just traded Monte Ellis.
Yeah.
And just stood there and took it. And to me, it's like you had this owner who knew what was coming, who knew what the plan was. Just hold on. I know the franchise sucks, but give me one more minute. Just give me one more minute. You'll see what the vision is. And honest to God, just look at what the Golden State Warriors have done over the last 10 years. And I feel this is very similar to what Sheila's been doing, you know, stood there and took the booze in front of everyone. And is just basically pleading, listen, she knows more than anybody what the fan base has gone through, what her family has gone through. And if anyone wants to get it right more than anyone else, it's definitely her. So, I mean, yeah, hats off to her for making the right moves. But, my goodness, I feel like, you know, if we can go on the Golden State Warriors run over these next 10 years, do it, lady. Just do it.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, look, I think the standard bearer in professional football has been the Steelers. Like, they hire the right people, they get out of the way, and those people crush it. And
it's culture. It's all culture, though. Yep. You know, it's just culture. So
Well, they've had three head coaches since like 1974 or whatever it is. You know, it's amazing what Pittsburgh has done with the continuity and stability of that organization. Isn't it, Doug, as you always point out, that yet they were the laughing stock in the NFL
forever.
Prior to being able to turn things around with Chuck Knoll and then a draft that yields like four Hall of Famers, and then next thing you know, they're set up. But to be able to maintain that in today's NFL,
they haven't even won one Super Bowl yet. And so what this feels as though the blueprint is there for a repeated pattern of success. Because of the people in charge, because of the way that they've structured this thing, and because of if, there's no reason to believe that Brad Holmes isn't the draft ninja we all think he is, but they're going to start peeling away at some of the foundational pieces, right? I mean, you know, we just talked about the interview with Goff, and we mentioned Ben Johnson and his job stuff, and it's really interesting. We'll replay it later for people to hear it, but some people interpreted Goff's response. First, he was facetious,
right.
But then, you know, they interpreted his response saying there's a chance he will come back, and maybe there is. And it would be, you know, we always talk about, you know, Tigers ownership with a gesture. There is no reason that if let's just say Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson get offered nothing.
Okay.
Let's say they don't get offered a job.
All right.
And their only choice is to come back. They still should be the highest paid coordinators.
I would agree with you. I think they've earned that, you know.
And there's the gesture now.
Somebody else is earning himself a raise too, and that's the head coach.
Yeah.
And also the GM. Dude, I mean, there's money that can go all around to reward people, and you know, this is then you start getting the business side of things and like, all right, slow your roll. I know everybody wants to pay right more money, but hold on.
Well, what's funny about it is you go back to the head coach, how things have changed. When he got hired, do you remember one of the naysayers, one of the biggest issues they had?
Was the length of the contract?
Who gets a six-year contract?
Yeah. Thank you, it's a six-year contract.
Yes.
Well, they already redid it. I was hoping it would be a 60-year contract at this point. But yeah, and Holmes has got his extension already, too. It doesn't mean they're not going to get another one. But I think the fear with fans and losing Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn or both of them is Dan Campbell is truly a leader of men in that locker room. He lets his coordinators do their job, and he leads the entire team, Dan Campbell does. If he loses one of those coordinators, I think you worry about who's going to take their spot next. You know, because if you look at the teams that have won Super Bowls, whether it's the Chiefs with Andy Reid, he generally calls the offense. So if they lose Bieniemy and Nagy, whoever the offensive coordinator is, Andy Reid's still there. When it was the Patriots, Bill Belichick called the defense. He stayed, even though they lost the defensive coordinators, whatever. When and if Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn leave, he doesn't take over the offensive coordinator job. He's going to do his job still. It's who's next in line, who do they hire outside the organization, whatever. I think that's the kind of fear, you know, we have about losing those two coordinators.
248-539-9797. Feedback to the Carson Anderson inbox. Happy New Year, boys. How much of Ben Johnson's decision depends on the outcome of our season? Win Super Bowl, higher chance of leaving than maybe losing in the NFC Championship game. That's from Arizona. Eric.
I would imagine that would probably be true because you've accomplished what you want to accomplish, and now you can move on to the next stage of your career. But I don't know what's you know, what's inside for either of those candidates.
Ron in Utica says, Ben Johnson, young man, young family. Does he really want 16-hour days? If he bolts, I hope it's to the AFC Jags or Cincinnati. Jags or Cincinnati. Please not the NFC. It's from Ron in Utica.
Do you think he doesn't work as much already?
I think he works a ton.
I think these guys are workaholics. You have to be as a coach to be successful.
Hans, the Uber driver, the longer Ben waits, the more likely he doesn't get a head coaching job. Remember when Bieniemy was a hot name? Where is he now?
Well, Bieniemy had some baggage that came with him. So in order for him to get considered, he had to leave and go elsewhere. Where is he? He is a coordinator with a college team right now.
Didn't he just get fired?
There's two sides of this story. One side says that was his length. He was only going to be there for that amount of time. And then the other side is we let him go type deal. So either way, I think it was UCLA or somebody.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, he was the assistant head coach, offensive coordinator at UCLA.
Yeah, but his time there is done now. But I think the point of the texter also is you strike while the iron's hot. You're not going to be hot forever necessarily. You know, you don't know what's going to happen next year and the year after that. So if you get an opportunity and you want to be a head coach and you like the opportunity, you should take it.
Chris is in Detroit and next year on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing, sir?
Good. I wanted to piggyback off the Sheila getting booed and talk about maybe his Tom Gore's redemption moment coming, looking at how the team has been bashed over the last, ever since he took ownership. And now it's looking like the team is turning around. He got a new GM and a new coach and competent players, and things is looking better. And also I wanted to ask Gator if he caught Hulk Hogan getting booed mercilessly last night on Raw, what he thought about that.
I didn't watch Raw. It was a Netflix, but I just saw there was a story that TMZ had posted about it, and I'm not surprised. Not surprised.
Can you believe they brought him out there?
I mean, look, I guess they brought a bunch of legends out there, and Hulk is certainly a legend in the wrestling world, but I think Hulk has also rubbed a lot of people the wrong way for stuff inside the ring and outside the ring for years. So I'm not surprised at all that he gets that kind of of reception. I mean, he's a polarizing guy these days. He was polarizing when he came in studio here like 6 months ago too. It was weird.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. That's what he was doing last night. He was pitching his beer.
Yeah, don't do that.
They let him pitch his beer.
I'm stunned that they let him do that in a wrestling arena. Because the fans are smarter than that. They don't want that. They want to be entertained. They don't want the advertising.
Well, we got to get guys. We got to get Kenny's take later on Netflix Raw last night, the debut, because Kenny's a big wrestling guy. He watched it.
Good. No, I'm looking forward to it. As far as the Pistons are concerned, what's interesting is
you mean the 500 Detroit Pistons?
The 500 Detroit Pistons, and we have carved out time for them later in the show. It's a lot of Troy Weaver's draft picks here. I don't know what that was. Was that a hot take of some kind? It's Troy Weaver's draft picks. This is how something becomes a thing. Is that what we're going to do if there's a hot take? We play that
I don't think
guitar
so.
Riff.
You have a hot take, though?
Not really. It's Troy Weaver's draft picks, and guys are starting to come around.
Well,
and they lose Jaden Ivey, and that's obviously a huge blow, but Cade is what he is.
Yeah, he was the first player taken in the draft that was the guy you're supposed to take first.
And they're
overall.
Still insanely young, but again, we've carved out time for them later. I hope you're right. I mean, they're 500. That is no joke.
This is January 7th.
They are three games into the playoffs.
They're on a four-game win streak, Doug.
Now, there's a lot of basketball to be played. Is it four-game win streak? Does that mean you shoot the boot?
It wasn't a shoot the boot. It was a lunch bet. And I'm... Can you go with getting Doug some lunch?
What was the bet?
Wasn't it like the three in a row? They've done this
twice
now.
Oh, we do the opposite? I thought he just put it out there on his own this year that he, but I mean, I'm
trying to spin this to my benefit some way. I never thought this would get any traction. Yeah. Yes, buy me lunch.
Look, the Pistons keep winning. I have no problem. I love it. I think this is great because they're we'll get to it later, but they're a fun team to watch now.
You heard it. Every time the Pistons win, Gator buys Doug lunch. 248-539-9797. Get to more of your phone calls.
My choice.
More of your phone calls and feedback coming up. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1.